Welcome to the latest episode of the Apple at Work podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things Apple in the enterprise. This week, my guest is Stephen Hackett, one of the co-founders of Relay FM and a writer at 512pixels.net.
Stephen, welcome to the show. So you probably are the person I've known the longest in the internet community because we live relatively near each other compared to most people. You're like 3.5 hours away from me, and we've hung out on multiple occasions, not in probably the last year for obvious reasons. As I mentioned in the intro, you're the co-founder of a company called Relay FM, who I've been a big fan of and I am a premium member of, which I highly recommend. So if you enjoy audio content around technology and things of that nature, automation, all kinds of awesome stuff, check it out. But the reason I brought you on is I've been thinking through this idea of, like, where does podcasting go from here? Not as a, not the industry of like sharing audio shows, but from a technology standpoint of how can we better use this technology? So for our listeners that don't know, like, give us a just like high level, here's how podcast works. Like, here's how a podcast / RSS feed, how it functions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so we have a bunch of shows on Relay FM and people call each other on Skype or increasingly Zoom. Zoom. It's really taking over for a lot of our stuff. And then we edit those shows together with the local audio, so you never hear the phone call. And then we have our own custom content management system. I don't recommend that for hardly anybody. It's like having another child, but a child that, you know, burns down in the middle of the night all the time. Don't do your own CMS, but you load it all up into a content management system. And there we can have not only obviously a title and we upload the audio file itself, but we're really big into having a lot of corresponding links and information. And so generally on our shows, if we're talking about a story, you know, say that someone at 9 to 5 has written a rumor report about something and we talk about it on a show, we have links to that. So people who listen and that something really piques their interest, they can not only see where our sources are, like what we're reading and talking about, but they can go find more on their own. And then that all gets bundled up and published over an RSS feed. And then Apple Podcasts or Overcast or Castro, whatever podcast client you're using, it just watches that RSS feed. And when a new episode comes in, it pulls it down and it may download the audio locally or may let you stream it. And all that metadata comes along with it. So as you're listening, you can be looking through the show notes, clicking those links, etc. So in a way, the heart of podcast distribution, you know, this huge industry now, is based on RSS, which is ancient and kind of fragile in weird ways, but it's open. And so that means that we can do really neat things in it, you know, have all those links and do all of our sort of custom stuff, but it's all on top of an open platform. So as long as we behave in that RSS feed and we use universally accepted tags, for instance, in the XML, then any podcast client or any RSS reader can read it. And that's really what's cool about podcasting. The way we do it is that it is open. And so we're not locking people into listening in one app or another. And so it is distributed. You can access it the way you want it to. And we don't have to go around and publish it a bunch of different places. We publish it on one place on our website, and all these clients have access to it. It's not like I've got to go around and deliver a copy for Overcast listeners and then deliver a copy for Castro listeners and then bundle up a copy with a little ribbon on top and give it to Apple Podcast, right? It is all distributed evenly and openly.
This week's episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by DevonThink. Are you the type of person that just collects all sorts of things across all your devices, whether it be your Mac, your iPhone, your iPad, but you're always losing them? Can't find that presentation, those PDFs you downloaded, that recipe you wanted to pin? If that's you, then you need to check out DevonThink and DevonThink to go. DevonThink is document and information management for Mac and iOS solved. It's one place for everything on your computer, all your documents, your snippets, your code, your bookmarks, anything you can store, it works with. And OCR technology being built in makes your scanned papers searchable. An integrated AI on the Mac assists you with finding everything that you need. It has extensive search language options so you can find everything with smart rules and flexible reminders to automate your entire workflow so you can delegate the boring repeating task of finding all your stuff. Let DevonThink automatically organize your data with the rules that you define. And it has flexible sync supporting many cloud services and synchronizing over a local network as well. Everything is securely encrypted, so you'll have all of your data on all your devices at all time and in sync. Of course, there's so much more, from email archiving and scanning to an embedded web server for sharing your data with others. There's a brand new version of DevonThink for iOS out with a modernized UI, OCR, and shortcut support. You definitely want to check it out. Again, if you're the type of person that collects tons of stuff on all your devices but can never find it, you need to check out DevonThink. And there's an awesome discount for Apple at Work listeners. There's a 10% discount on DevonThink 3 or upgrades for listeners of Apple at Work. So again, go to devontechnologies.com/Apple at Work for 10% discount. I might have a link for that in the show notes. So again, if you're the type of person that can't find anything but keeps collecting more, you need a strategy, and DevonThink is your strategy. Again, that link is devontechnologies.com/Apple at Work.
Yeah, so it's really the decentralization of content distribution. And what you said is really dead on in terms of it's fragile. I mean, RSS stands for really simple syndication. Like, this is simple technology, but I think that's that really is its kind of key value in it. Like, we haven't tried to make it something else, because it's kind of looks at email. It's like email technology kind of still is simple. Like, you've got IMAP and SMTP, and really that's kind of what we still have. And, mm-hmm. and because of that, all these companies can play along. And that's one of the best things about podcasting, is it's no one company controls podcasting. Obviously, Apple has a large market share with their directory, but even if Apple doesn't let your show on their directory for whatever reason, even inside the Apple Podcast app, I can still subscribe to that show, even though Apple doesn't necessarily want it. And so a good example is on Relay FM, I have a private feed to my premium account, which you all smartly have a button that says, you know, click here to subscribe in Apple Podcasts, click here to subscribe in Castro Overcast. And it just opens up and there it is. And so, you know, really you all, we have a direct relationship as like a patron and a company, where even if, you know, obviously you don't want that URL with Apple Podcasts, but like, we can, it still makes it easy. I don't have to get another player. And so where it's got me thinking about going is, or where this technology that goes in the future, obviously I think the medium itself is going to continue to flourish. I absolutely love what's happening with podcasting. I love like the fiction stuff that's coming out from companies like Qcode. I think it's awesome stuff. And it's like, especially, I in some ways have never had less time to sit down and watch TV. Mm-hmm. Anytime I'm in the car or I'm cleaning or I'm, you know, putting laundry up, I can have a podcast on and I can passively listen. And I love that. So I've sort of made me think about like going back to conferences through work, or, you know, kids in school doing virtual learning, or, you know, where the future is here. And it got me thinking, like, this technology could be leveraged in a lot of places in the workplace that it's not being used now. And the example that I was talking with someone the other day that said, look, going to a conference, I get the most value out of like the expo halls, the side conversations, the lunches, the kind of impromptu meetings, and the keynotes, they're fine. So it got me thinking, could we not do something where keynotes are recorded in advance? When we've done that now with virtual conferences, all these things are recorded in advance and is delivered. Why couldn't we do that for in-person conferences? These keynotes are recorded in advance, delivered over a podcast feed. So you could build, like, you know, if I'm a conference venue, I can have a custom, you know, a custom podcast feed that contains just the my keynote speakers. And then if you're a conference that has different tracks, you could have a podcast feed for this track, a podcast feed for that track, and it's all delivered as you want it. And so then you say, okay, like, you tell the people, hey, we're going to give you the keynote that morning, listen to it, come in, and then we're going to have a Q&A session with the speaker. And kind of just flipping that model of like how knowledge is transferred. Now, as someone that's like really, you know, makes their living in this industry, what do you think about that?
No, I think it's a super interesting idea. And in 2020, we've seen some big conferences. I mean, in our world, it's WWDC, right? Where they did migrate to an all online thing, but they're not using really an open standard. I mean, with Apple, it's all video content in their app. So it's a little bit different, but you can still pick and choose what you want. I tend to agree with you. I mean, I've done a lot of conferences over the years, and I really like you find those side conversations, the person you catch in the elevator and you end up having coffee and it's like a really interesting thing comes out of it. That's the value for me most of the time. Nothing against the speakers. I've been the speaker at a bunch of conferences. Like, I get it. But being able to blend the two would be really interesting. And I think in a post-COVID world, there is a real opportunity to redefine what some of these big events look like. I would be much more comfortable in a smaller room. Like, I don't know the next time I'm going to be in a room with 5,000 people. Like, it even after it's safe, right? I'm not sure I'm going to be comfortable in that for a while. And so being able to say, hey, look, you can get the content from these speakers, whether it be audio or video, you can deliver either one over RSS. Consume that the way that you want to. And then we're going to have all these breakout meetings. We're going to have all these other things built around that. And the only requirement is that if you want your money's worth, you've got to consume the content, you know, before you get here or the night before or whatever. And I think that would be,
could even be like on your run that morning, you listen to the keynote.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It would also probably take temptation away to, you know, go party during conferences. Right? It's like, oh, I got to go watch this speaker. Sorry, I can't go out. As someone who wants to go to bed early during conferences, that would be a great excuse for me. But I think the other thing it would potentially open up is the frustration that I've had when I've spoken at conferences and when I've attended conferences where I really want to have a conversation, even if it's brief, with the speaker or with somebody who maybe I know from previous events, but we never get to connect, right? Because so many times, especially if it's a multi-track conference, during the day, you're going from class to class to class, like you're in school again. And it doesn't leave time for real deep interaction. And so if I could listen to someone's talk and then go to maybe even a panel discussion where they're on it, but it's 30 people in their room instead of 300, it's a more intimate setting. I may be more likely to connect or have my questions answered. And I think that's more valuable during these conferences than necessarily the talk that's been prepared and maybe even been given before. I think that stuff can be a good jumping off point to what really matters.
Yeah, and it can certainly be more well rehearsed as well. And it would, I mean, let's be real. When I go listen to somebody, like, I struggle to sit and listen to somebody talk for an hour, but I can easily listen to someone talk over a podcast for an hour. Why that is, I don't know. Maybe I think it's probably the cognitive load of sitting and listening and watching someone talk versus like I could be on a run or I could be putting my laundry away. I could be cleaning my house and listening to like a great speaker. This is going to sound awful. I would much rather listen to a church sermon that's an hour than sit and listen. Like, I just struggled with it. Maybe that's like my ADHD type things. of course, it gets me thinking too, how could we use this technology in the classroom? So you think about like a university setting, could be the same thing. It's like, hey, I'm going to deliver my lectures over our custom education CMS. It's going to give you a private RSS feed for all your class lectures. You subscribe to them in Apple Podcasts. You listen to them on your own time. And then you come in and ask questions and we have office hours and we talk. Even obviously right now that technology could be useful, but even in the future, I think that'll be useful to kind of, you know, if someone's sick, if someone has to be out of town, they don't have to miss the lecture because there's really no reason you should have to be somewhere to hear a lecture.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if you base something like this atop RSS, it's not up to each individual teacher, or if you're in the college setting, professor, to like figure it out on their own, right? I mean, you and I are the same age. Like when we were in school, if you missed a lecture, like sometimes the PowerPoint would be put up somewhere and you could download it, but not really because it was, you know, a long time ago. But even now, so much of the stuff in organizations is just left up to whatever teacher. Like my kids have been virtual coming up on 1 year in like in about a month. And it took a while for our school district to sort of standardize on what they were going to do. I mean, they've been using Microsoft Teams, but standardized in the communication with parents, right? So for a while, one teacher was doing this, one teacher was doing that. They were providing this. Someone else was providing something else. But if you rely on RSS and you can build a system based on top of that, it takes the load in a way off of the teacher so they don't have to figure out what app to get all the parents to download on their phones, but have something that is a bit more standardized so they can just plug their content in and hit publish and they don't have to worry about what parents are getting it, you know. Oh, what if I have parents that don't have smartphones, right? Like you could do RSS on a computer really easily. Lots of different options. And I just can't help but think that taking some of that responsibility and decision-making away from people who that's not their jam, that would be good as well.
Yeah, because I can really envision a world where like a school learning management system, if you could build it off of podcasts or include podcast technology. And so it almost works like the Relay FM CMS, where teachers can go and upload their content and students could easily subscribe in an Apple, click a button that says subscribe to your teacher's feed in Apple Podcasts. And like all the lessons would be there and you could listen and like it's all there. And obviously like in like small children, they are still very visual, but certainly like in older kids, you know, audio driven content really could open them up to like, not consuming content, but like kind of transferring that knowledge. And so again, it could even be a situation where if I'm a high school history teacher, I can deliver my lecture about the Civil War, ahead of time and it record it once and it'd be awesome. And I sign it to all the students to listen through their, like through my school learning management system, they get auto downloaded their Apple Podcast app. They listen to it. And then they come in and we talk about it and get more in depth. So it kind of, it's not a new concept. It's called the flipped classroom approach, but it's taking it and just like using this open and essentially free technology that all these, you know, schools and these companies that they're just building in because, again, this is one of the fastest growing ways that people consume content. And the awesome thing about it is it's one of the cheapest ways to create content because you don't have to worry about video. You don't have to have the lighting. You just have to have a good microphone. I'm sure your studio is meticulously set up, but like you could literally just do this with AirPods sitting in front of a Mac and upload it and be done. And that's all you have to do. And I think there's a lot of opportunity to use to like take what we've learned about the industry that people do like to consume content this way. Say, okay, how can we kind of flip that back and to businesses, schools, conferences? Like how do we do that? And one of the big trends I'm seeing is companies creating their own podcasts and it just a way to kind of like talk about the industry, but also just like a way to connect with their customers. And I would rather listen to a 20-minute podcast from one of my vendors than sit through an hour webinar. It's more informal. And like that's the way I like to consume. So I'm really excited about like podcast second act, not as again, a medium, but just like, how do we more embed this technology into our everyday life?
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, the production doesn't have to be stellar. And really, for most things, something like AirPods or inexpensive consumer grade stuff is totally cool, right? I mean, part of the reason we have all this fancy gear is because we're nerds, right? Like I don't strictly need everything that I have in my studio to make a podcast. You can definitely start with much simpler things. And I think, too, people who are already teaching or already giving talks, whatever it is, speaking is already a very natural way for them to communicate. And so I don't think you're putting an extra burden on them to sort of use this technology to get that information across, right? I think thinking about my kids' virtual schooling over the last year, having them seeing those teachers struggle with some of the technology has been tough, right? And my wife's a teacher and she's struggled with it as well. And I think a lot of that has to do with the video aspect of it, like the video conferencing real time aspect of it. But if you're just recording audio and releasing it, you don't have a lot of that overhead.
Yeah, it's different. Like we talked about that in a previous show, like the cognitive load of sitting and staring at a screen raises the difficulty of education by a decent percent, like, you know, anywhere from, I would argue, 10 to 20%. Because again, it's exhausting just being on video and like you just can't listen. It's just the stress of it. So I totally agree with you. It would be much easier just to like just record audio and release it, and then not, you don't have to stress about, again, sitting and staring at a screen, essentially staring back at yourself. No, 100% agree. Stephen, thanks for joining today. This was a fun conversation. I hope that more companies look at using this technology in the future, again, particularly with conferences, because I could never sit through a conference keynote again and I would be fine, but I've never been more excited to get back to conferences. Stephen, for our listeners that don't know you, I'm sure most of them do, give us a quick plug on where they can find you around the internet.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter and Twitch as ISMH. I write a blog at 512pixels.net, and I'm on a bunch of shows, including Connected and Mac Power Users over at relay.fm.
We'll have a link to all that in the show notes. Stephen, great to talk to you as always, and we'll talk again real soon.